You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
February the 12th, 2020, and a Monmouth University poll out says that most voters surveyed believe President Trump will be reelected in November. A majority, 66%, believe he will definitely or probably be reelected. Now, this poll was done 3 days ago before we finished up the New Hampshire primary last night. 28% of those surveyed say that they think he will definitely or probably lose. I want to find those folks. I'll place a bet with you. We have another Democrat candidate falling aside. You probably hadn't heard much of him because that explains why he's moving away. Former Massachusetts Governor Patrick Deval, after the New Hampshire results last night, decided, I can't keep this together. It's not going to work. As did Colorado Senator Michael Bennett, saying, I'm also out of here. Andrew Yang, also saying, I'm done. He said, you know, I'm a math guy. It is clear tonight from the numbers we're not going to win this race. You think? But he is saying, I'll give my support to any of the candidates. Any of the candidates, the first one that will go with me and guarantee Americans a guaranteed income of $1,000 a month. If you offer that, I will be with you. What they will do to try to find votes. This coronavirus is still frightening, and now the World Health Organization wants to change the name of it. No, it's not any concern that people think it's from the beer, Corona. It's just that they want to name it to break it down to better identify where it started. They now want to announce the official name is COVID-19. COVID, C-O-V-I-D, the number 19. Co standing for coronavirus. V-I for virus. How about that? D for disease. This is elementary stuff. And the number 19 referring to, what do you think, the year it first emerged. COVID-19, if you hear them talking about that, they're talking about the coronavirus. In the meantime, the official state newspaper, the Communist Party of Cuba, publishing a column that says the outbreak of the coronavirus, or COVID-19, in China is because of American biological terrorism intended to hurt the Chinese economy. That's right, that we are releasing this across China to hurt their economy. That's what they're saying among the Communist Party members in Cuba. Some of our U.S. troops came under fire near a village in northeast Syria. And thank God our troops had the responsibility, the right, and the allowance to do what is needed as needed. They returned fire. No casualties on our side. Casualties on the other side, like I care. Once again, proof that we need a better way to control our border and protect it. Border Patrol agents say they found two previously deported sex offenders trying to get into California over the weekend. They had just been deported. Sex offenders. And they're coming back. And they're going to California because that's a sanctuary state, don't you know? Two Ohio State football players arrested on felony rape and kidnapping charges. And, of course, they are innocent until proven guilty. Jussie Smollett back in the news. He's now indicted on 6 counts for allegedly lying to police about those claims. Last year, Smollett, who is black and gay, originally charged that he was attacked because he's black and gay, and he was attacked by MAGA members, Trump supporters. Charges eventually dropped. No one charged at all, and no one made it clear as to why they suddenly decided to drop the charges. Miami bars might be closing earlier for spring break. The Miami nightlife, rather than going to 5 a.m., they say, we're going to shut the bars down at 2 a.m. They're trying to put an end to all the parties during spring break. Good luck with that. Disneyland. Disneyland raising prices. Some one-day, two-part tickets will now cost you $200. $200. How would a family go to Disneyland nowadays? What do you think? What do you think would change that? Somebody suddenly realizing, I thought all of this was to do things for kids. I don't think this was at all envisioned. But that's where we are. One day, two park tickets, $200.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Wellington Environmental specializes in making your world safer, finding, removing threats to your health. In one facility, occupants were getting sick, but only in one portion of a building. And Wellington Environmental was asked to investigate and soon found air conditioning units in the rooms only in that side of the building were blowing cold air loaded with mold. The AC units in that part of the building were pulling air from a stagnant pond. Mystery solved, threat resolved. That's just one of many Wellington Environmental stories. And then there's a hospital that was going to have to close because of a water main break until Wellington stepped in to help. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
The president's in a spot where he really can't lose as this plays out. Biden's going to win South Carolina. You're going to have three different winners in the first three states. On Super Tuesday, I think Bloomberg's going to make a real dent. He's going to make a real presence. You're going to go to this convention with Biden basically collapsed. Somebody's going to fill that lane. It's not going to be Amy Klobuchar. It's going to be Bloomberg. You go into that convention, and if you can't find a nomination on the first round of voting, the Democratic Party, as we know it, is going to completely implode. But you're seeing the demise of the Democratic Party that your grandfather and grandmother knew.
Senator Lindsey Graham on Fox News talking about how the Democrat Party is imploding. And he just laid out for you that he said you're going to see three different winners from the three main contests. We've had New Hampshire. And we have Sanders winning New Hampshire by a few percent points, but Buttigieg comes away with the same number of delegates, 9. Now we have Nevada February 22nd, South Carolina the 29th, where that's where Biden is staking everything that he can carry South Carolina. But as you heard Senator Graham say, then comes Super Tuesday where he thinks Bloomberg's going to run to the top because he's spending so much money. He's been doing it for weeks in these three states. Super Tuesday includes Alabama, American Samoa, Arkansas, California, Colorado, Maine, Massachusetts, Minnesota, North Carolina, Oklahoma, Tennessee, Texas, Vermont, and Virginia. All will cast their ballots for a Democrat presidential nominee. No, they will not reflect what we've seen in Iowa and New Hampshire, not specifically, not directly. And there is new polling that shows Bloomberg is picking up support among African Americans. That's what Biden has been counting on to protect him, especially in South Carolina. That is why South Carolina, the 29th of this month, could spell the end of the Biden campaign. Now, you also heard him say that you don't think Klobuchar could hold up against Bloomberg. And when he was asked by one of the hosts, why can't Klobuchar fill Biden's spot? And his answer, Senator Graham, is she doesn't have the juice. That Bloomberg's got way too much money. We're talking about socialism versus liberalism. Amy's a nice person, but at the end of the day, she's not going to be able to compete with Bloomberg. He's got just too much money. And that's what a lot of Democrats are already crying foul about. Here is coming this guy that's one of the eighth wealthiest in the world, and he wants to be president. He hasn't really done anything to earn it, and he just suddenly shows up with cash in hand. Well, of course, he was not on the ballot in New Hampshire last night. Senator Sanders was. And Senator Sanders ran to the top of the flagpole.
Thank you, New Hampshire. Thank you, New Hampshire. Let me take this opportunity to thank the people of New Hampshire for a great victory tonight. And let me say tonight that this victory here is the beginning of the end for Donald Trump.
Gotta beat Trump. Senator Sanders last night at his victory celebration. Biden had already left the state yesterday morning. He just left the state knowing I'm not going to get anything out of here. And the mainstream media outlets, they've already had their preference. That was going to be Biden, but they're having to reevaluate because Biden looks like he's not going to be there at all for them. And, of course, they point to the Iowa caucus, and they say that's been part of the whole problem to begin with, as if that were suddenly new, and it's all because of the Iowa caucus that Biden is slipping and sliding. But the New York Times did declare that the Iowa caucus, or as I would call it, the Iowa chaos, an epic fiasco for Democrats that demoralized the party. The Times columnist David Leonard said it was a rough week for Democrats, especially since Trump was acquitted on the heels of the Iowa debacle. The Washington Post opinion section said, Democrats might be undecided for a long time. Biden is the most electable candidate, just not right here or right now. Wow. Adding enough of the quadrennial bedwetting Democrats. There are two Joe Bidens. The wrong one is running for president. And no, Pete Buttigieg and Joe Biden are not centrists. MSNBC has been showing more favoritism toward Bernie, while CNN was also trying to stick a little bit with Biden. But right now, a DePaul University professor said some of the historically left-leaning mainstream media outlets have become more aggressive recently in their coverage of the party's troubles, the Democrat Party troubles. They can't ignore it. It's right in their face. Buttigieg came in second behind Sanders, a couple percentage points behind him in New Hampshire, but he also walks away with the same number of electoral votes out of New Hampshire.
And here in a state that goes by the motto, live free or die, you made up your own minds. You asserted that famous independent streak. And thanks to you, a campaign that some said shouldn't be here at all has shown that we are here to stay.
Again, that's Pete Buttigieg last night in New Hampshire, gladly claiming second place. There was a study done by, let me see, who did this study? I'm trying to find who actually did it. Anyway, apparently they were reviewing voters at political events across the Granite State. Breitbart News did this. And they said that many of the voters in New Hampshire said they preferred candidates who could show a stylistic contrast to President Donald Trump. Contrast. Well, when you look at it, Sanders is very much like Trump, not a contrast. Buttigieg might be considered a contrast. And then this was an interesting statement. One middle-aged female voter said, "I like Buttigieg. He seems sincere. I like his moral compass." Now, I'm not going to call her out for that. Not going to call him out because of his sexual preference, but I find it interesting. She says moral compass. This is a middle-aged female voter that said Buttigieg has a moral center. That is pretty strange to hear, especially for an openly gay candidate. But so be it. It's her opinion, her poll, in her own mind. And Senator Warren was trying to remind everyone last night as she had to accept that she couldn't even pick up third place, that we've got to quit picking on each other, especially quit picking on me.
Senator Sanders and Mayor Buttigieg are both great people, and either one of them would be a far better president than Donald Trump. I respect them both. But the fight between factions in our party has taken a sharp turn in recent weeks, with ads mocking other candidates and with supporters of some candidates shouting curses at other Democratic candidates. These harsh tactics might work if you are willing to burn down the rest of the party in order to be the last man standing.
Or the last woman standing. And, of course, she got kind of in trouble after the last debate when she basically claimed that Bernie Sanders had told her on a private conversation a woman can't be president and certainly can't beat Donald Trump. And Bernie denied it. And then she afterwards went over to him and it was called on mic. Are you calling me a liar on national TV? And from then on, her numbers have gone down. So she might be regretting that she called out like that. Senator Klobuchar, Amy Klobuchar, some of those same New Hampshire voters in that Breitbart poll liked Amy for what they said, her plain spoken style. She took third last night in New Hampshire. And I want to play part of her address to her crowd. You can hear, yes, the plain spoken style, and you hear an Americana story. And it's not fake Pocahontas Indian, is not manufactured, is not created just for the myths and the grist of all the politics. It's her story. And you can't help but be pulled into it. I want you to listen to it. But I will tell you there's a warning that should be posted while you're listening. It could be interrupting every word she says. But I'm going to let you listen to it. Unedited.
Just like so many of you out there, I know a little bit about resilience. My grandpa worked 1,500 feet underground in the mines in northern Minnesota. He never graduated from high school because his parents were sick. He had 9 brothers and sisters, and he had to help raise them. And every day he would go down in that cage in that mine carrying a lunch bucket that my grandma would pack. His youngest sister, Hannah, was only 8 years old when they put her in an orphanage, and he vowed after his parents died that he would go and get her. And 2 years later, he borrowed a car, he went to Duluth, and he brought her home. He and my grandma saved money in a coffee can in their basement to send my dad to a 2-year community college. My dad then became a newspaper man. My mom, she was born in Milwaukee, the site of our next convention. And she came to Minnesota and taught second grade until she was 70 years old. And I still meet people that say she was their favorite teacher. So I stand before you today as a granddaughter of an iron ore miner, as a daughter of a teacher and a newspaper man, as the first woman elected to the U.S. Senate from the state of Minnesota, and a candidate for president of the United States.
That is powerful. That is powerful. Amy Klobuchar last night. And a powerful story. But what you should have had imprinted on your mind, if we'd had it on video, I'd have it flashing on the screen. And if I could do it without interrupting her actual voice and get to you, I'd be saying, liberal, liberal, liberal. Do not take all of what she said, make you believe that she's conservative in any views. She is pro-choice abortion, first of all. But beyond that, she also has liberal posturing. And yet, they're looking at her as a centrist, that she is maybe going to be the one sane voice out of the party. Bernie is too far left, and with Bernie's recent health concerns, who should be on his ticket? Is that going to be a place for Amy Klobuchar? Or is that where Senator Warren, since she has more in line philosophically, I should say, with Sanders, that it would be Warren? There are going to be more problems for the Democrats to sort out. We'll take a break. When we come back, I want to tell you about some of the latest efforts to assault your Second Amendment rights. Focus Point, Virginia.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Red Fitness Lounge in Clayton sponsors this segment. Red Fitness Lounge, redefining exercise, changing how you think and look at fitness, one client at a time. I'll see you at Red Fitness Lounge. Get details at redfitnesslounge.com. redfitnesslounge.com.
On the road again, just can't wait to get on the road again. The life I love is making music with my friends, and I can't wait to get on the road again. On the road.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
It happened yesterday in Virginia. The delegates that were bought by Michael Bloomberg with his money passed his gun ban. The House of Delegates voting 51-48, passing House Bill 961. And they did it quickly. It now moves to the Senate. As amended, it's a comprehensive ban on many commonly owned semi-automatic firearms, suppressors, standard capacity magazines. But they're pushing for, what they've been saying is this is an assault weapons ban. And yet no one can really define what an assault weapon is. Is it just a gun that looks dangerous? You know, it's compared to just a normal hunting rifle. This is a short stock and got military camouflage markings on it. They don't really know what they're doing. All they know is that we're going to take it from you. Just as former U.S. Representative Beto O'Rourke, when asked, said, hell yes, we're going to take your AR-15 in his Democrat presidential debate last September. We don't know how many so-called assault weapons are even out there. One study that was part of a brief filed in a criminal case, I say a not a criminal case, but a case titled District of D.C. versus Heller, estimated in 2017 there are about 3.3 million. Now they say there could be something like 17 million. An assault rifle is not any different than any other that exists out there. What they would have you believe is that it's an automatic, where you pull the trigger one time, hold it down, and it will continue to spew bullets. It will not. That would be illegal. That is part of the argument that they want to run right past you. A Republican in the Virginia legislature said, if you've ever said, I'm for the Second Amendment, this bill will infringe upon the Second Amendment. The other thing they always tend to do when they're pushing gun control laws and legislation. They take facts and twist them and throw them away and make them remake them. Some of the latest verified numbers come from 2017, reference gun deaths. And they will tell you 40,000 died by firearm. 40,000. What they don't tell you is 24,000 of those were suicide. 14,000 and some odd were homicides. The rest were accidental, things of that nature. That doesn't mean the life is not important. It's just that they are making you believe guns in our nation are responsible, they want you to believe, for 40,000 murders. That's not true. And to this date, while they continue to assail the NRA, and I'm not a member of the NRA, to this date we've yet to see anyone who's with the NRA accused of any of these, quote, shootings that they jump on. But when it does happen, if it ever does, they'll make a case out of it. But of course, if you are a liberal attacking Republicans, you can probably get away with a lot of it. And to that point, what are you hearing out of Florida on that story? Please stand by.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've represented hundreds of individuals and small businesses in disputes with the IRS. So if you've been contacted for past due tax debt or haven't filed taxes in a while, contact me, Lance Drury. And because each client's case is unique, we'll meet face-to-face and go over your tax situation in detail. Together, we'll develop a strategy to resolve your tax issues. I'm experienced, I know your rights, and I'll give you honest answers. Under my 8-point plan, my firm will file the necessary forms needed to resolve your issue with the IRS, and you won't have to worry about talking to their agents. I'll negotiate on your behalf to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, tax resolution attorney Lance Drury, 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDrurylaw.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
I can feel my face when I'm with you. My love it. And I know she'll be the death of me. At least we'll both be numb. And she'll always get the best of me. The worst is yet to come. All the misery was necessary. We're worth deep in love. Yes, I know.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I am still incensed over this. I have yet to see mainstream media jump on this story. And we know why. We know why, because it's a lefty attacking Republicans, specifically Trump supporters. Happened in Jacksonville, Florida the other day. A Florida man on Saturday drove into a parking lot where a tent had been set up by Trump supporters to set up for voter registration. Half a dozen volunteers running that registration drive in that parking lot of a Walmart. This guy took his van and aimed it right at the tent, crashing into it. Thank goodness no one was seriously hurt, but they were all panicked and frightened for their lives. Then he gets out, takes pictures of what he's done. I think he kind of gave them the middle finger, smiling, jumped back in and left. Well, of course, they tracked him down. And he has been charged, but not with a hate crime. And the mainstream media has yet to do anything with it. He's been arrested and charged now with criminal mischief, driving while license suspended. Oh yeah, aggravated assault. They were indicating that the motivation was unclear. It was not unclear. It wasn't unclear to anyone at that point. And he has since been quoted as saying that he told authorities he saw the tent while he's picking up food and cigarettes, and he decided someone had to take a stand. He said, I'm upset that my video ended before the good part when I crashed into the tent. And he also said, I do not like President Trump. That is a hate crime. A clear hate crime. The police report is public for any news agency to pick up and see and read, and they don't do it. They don't repeat it because this guy was against Trump and decided to attack Republicans. One of the volunteers said the guy gunned his engine as he headed straight at us. Donald Trump asked the other day, Donald Trump Jr., rather, where is the outraged media? Why are they so silent? It'd be the number one story in the world right now if it was a Trump supporter doing it to a group of liberals. Of course it would be. They'd bring up Charlottesville, and that would be a crime, and I would stand with you to call out anybody who attacks others for their political beliefs and does this. But the mainstream media continues to just ignore it. It didn't happen. It just didn't happen. I will guarantee you, if you called a mainstream media news operation like CNN and said, hey, there's a guy that just crashed a van into a Bernie Sanders rally and said, I'm out to get Bernie and his people. You want to get here right away. They'd be dispatching helicopters and reporters and extra calls for other people to come in before they even asked if it's a fact. I know I'm preaching to the choir on this. I know where you are on it. Do you know what the moral, Morrill, it's M-O-R-R-I-L. It's not, I don't want you to think it's moral like M-O-R-A-L. The Moral Anti-Bigamy Act is. It was a federal law that banned men from having more than one wife at a time. Bigamy. It also limited the amount of property a church and nonprofit could own in any territory of the U.S., limiting it to the amount of $50,000. Justin Smith Morrill, or Morrill, of Vermont sponsored it. President Abraham Lincoln signed it July 8, 1862. The intent was to stop the Mormon practice of plural marriage and property dominance of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints in the Utah Territory. But there was no funding to enforce it, and Lincoln chose not to enforce it. In fact, he gave Brigham Young permission to ignore the act if he would not get involved with the Civil War. In 1878, the Supreme Court ruled, Reynolds v. U.S., religious duty was not a suitable defense for breaking the law. Many Mormons went into hiding. The act got amended in 1882 and then again in 87. And by 1904, the Church of Latter-day Saints had disavowed bigamy. But it persists in Utah and has for some time. And in Utah, it is a felony under state statute. That's changing. New legislation introduced in the Senate in Utah, in the state Senate of Utah, would change the offense of bigamy when two people marry while at least one of them is already legally married. It would change it from a felony to an infraction. Bigamy, currently a third-degree felony in Utah, punishable by up to 5 years in prison, $5,000 fine. Making it just an infraction would make it similar to getting a traffic ticket. Now, various religious groups, not just Mormons and Latter-day Saints, I should say, have practiced polygamy of some type, and it continues now, even though it is illegal under state and federal law in many cases. But the Utah Attorney General's office had declined to prosecute the cases unless it's committed along with any other crimes. So the decision was, well, then why don't we just take it off the books? Some of those testifying in front of the Senate were telling their stories about how they lived in fear. One of them saying that her father and other adults told them that no one in law enforcement should be your friend. You can't speak to them because they'll learn more about us and the family. And we might be dragged from under our beds, as she was led to believe. She said all of these people would be considered kidnappers if they knew I was living with a family that had one husband and two or more wives and children from them. So that's why they have been pushing to change it. This woman says, and has worked as a victim advocate, saying she's encountered cases of abuse and violence involving individuals from various religious backgrounds, and yet the belief was, and the story that it was a human rights crisis through polygamy and bigamy, was that the women were being abused, and the same with children. Her statement was, no, that's not true. Probably not any more for bigamist than monogamist. But the members of the polygamous community didn't want to report any kind of crimes because they knew if police came in, they'd start looking at the environment and they would end up charging them with a felony. And again, getting them up to 5 years in prison. And if then they decided to tack on fraud, which it would probably be a good case that they could make, child abuse, not necessarily physically or even sexually, but you're exposing a child to something they maybe shouldn't be seeing, depending on how you try to present the case. Human smuggling, trafficking, if you're trying to move the child, your family elsewhere. All of those could be put in. And so that 5 years could jump to 15. Now, those charges I just identified still stand as law. But it doesn't make polygamy part of it. If this Senate bill becomes law, polygamy among consenting adults would be reduced to, as I said, what they call an infraction. Infractions in Utah carry no jail time. Sometimes punishments can be fines up to $750 and community service. In this day and age where you have the LGBT community demanding equal and free and inclusive rights, it's pretty hard to argue that you should not change the law in Utah. By agreeing that, yeah, there needs to be a change, does not mean that you're either for it or against it. It just says if you're looking for equality, this is another thing that needs to be dealt with. So the bill to decriminalize polygamy now has unanimous approval from the Utah Senate Committee and will be going forward. And saying again, it's not intended to punish people that are engaging, encourage people engaging, prevent them from engaging, but is to give us a chance to maybe get in areas where children have been victimized in some fashion or another. And if polygamy is part of the scenario, then that's not going to be a charge, not of a felony anyway. We have seen in past cases, and you might remember the leader Warren Jeffs, who victimized children repeatedly. That was a different time, a different case, I should say, than what they're discussing here. That's nothing more than truly sexually abusing children under the premise of your religion says it's okay. And no, we still have to look to protect our most vulnerable. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I'm going to admit something I did. This is my mistake. It's been on Facebook all day. I just corrected it so you can't find it now. But I'm going to admit to it, and then wait to hear what PETA is now attacking. I'm willing to bet, even if you're a vegan, you're not going to like what PETA is now deciding to target. My mistake and PETA, all in the same, coming up. Please stand by.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Over.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Now, I'm going to tell you what PETA is doing, and it ties into the 2020 Westminster Dog Show. Don't worry if you're waiting to watch it on TV and you don't want to know who the winner is. I'm not going to tell you who ends up winning, but I know who it is. Send me money, large bills, unmarked, in an envelope, and I'll get that information to you. Or you'll get it before. No, I'm going to tell you, no, I'm not. I'm not going to do that. But what I will tell you, while they've been doing this Westminster Dog Show, the Westminster Kennel Club Dog Show, one of the biggest events, of course, for dog owners and lovers, folks that don't even have a dog, they like watching these dogs parade across with their trainers running, jogging kind of behind them, near them, whatever. Watch how refined the animals are. I'm talking about the dogs and the trainers. Folks kind of enjoy it. There might even be a group of people out there that sit around and make bets. I'm just saying that might happen. But now comes PETA. PETA. The People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. That's not the same PETA group I belong to. The one I belong to, the PETA, is People Eat Tasty Animals. That's my group. But this group, PETA, is protesting again, saying it's callous to breed, buy, sell dogs. The shelters are full of canines up for adoption. That's a fact. There are canines that I'd love to see have a home. I'm not interested in having another one. I'm a dog lover, but I don't have time, and you want to have time and a place for an animal. You don't want them to just sit at home all alone, and that would be the situation. But just because we have a lot of dogs waiting for adoption doesn't mean others aren't being bred and prepared and trained for these kinds of shows. But PETA says that's hurting dogs. I don't think it does. I don't think any of these folks who train and take care of these dogs does a single thing to hurt that animal, because they want the animal looking good. PETA says, well, after they lose or they're no longer that great, well, then they dump them. I don't know of any stories of that. And if PETA has it, where's the evidence? The American Kennel Club, which governs dog shows, including Westminster, said responsible breeders take care of the dog's health, and the club defends dog breeding as a way to preserve dogs developed for certain functions and traits. But PETA now says if you even watch the Westminster Kennel Dog Show, you are a nasty, nasty, mean, mean person. So notice has been served. Do you feel better about yourself? Now, you cat lovers out there, you said, all right, good, I'm glad. Well, they might come back around and look at the cats. Just be aware of that. And the cats themselves that sit there and watch the Westminster Dog Show probably are thinking, I could care less. I really have no cares in the world. Isn't it the way most cats are? See, I've always loved a dog. I could leave, when I had a cat, I could leave the house and come back in. The cat just kind of looks like, oh, are you here again? I could come back with the dog and the dog come. I could be gone for 4 seconds stepping outside the door to pick up something, come back in, and the dog comes running up to me. Oh, my God. I'm like I've been gone for decades. That's the way you want to be greeted. That's why I'm more of a dog lover than a cat lover. But I love both of them. Well, it didn't take me long to get off sidetrack on that, did it? All right, I made a mistake today on Facebook. You know you can go to Larry Connors USA Facebook during the program, and you can send in text and comments. And also later we will post these programs up at Larry Connors USA Facebook for podcast. So you can listen again or share it with friends. I really encourage you to share them with other friends and even your enemies. But I had a text today from Mark D, that said the app isn't working on Android. We need to check on that. I don't know what's wrong with the app, but he's very concerned, saying I can't get the signal effective enough. We need to have this done. I open it up and it won't work. Someone else texted in and said, well, try going to freedomkxen.com and you can get it there. And he did. He said, okay, now I'm happy. But then they also pointed out, Mark pointed out, here's the way he wrote it, and fix your date on the post. That gave me a scare. I thought I was going to be in deep trouble when I got home for forgetting this date. I went back like, what did I do wrong? Ooh, I put down February 14 on today's date. You look now, it's been changed. I edited it. Thank God he caught it for me. No, I don't want anybody to forget Valentine is coming up Friday. How do I do it? Well, I work on so many different things here. I've got different programs I'm working on in the future, guests. Bottom line is, I'm an idiot. That's a simple line, and I can't get out of that. It's been with me for my life. I'm an idiot. But thank God we corrected it. It's not the 14th of the month yet. But guys, here's your warning. It's coming. Can't say I didn't tell you. Thanks as always for listening. Hope to have you join us tomorrow. Same time, same station. Book it.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.